but it's not, the beginning's not hard either. We are on, yeah, Zayin of a Beis, right? Lacha Beis. I says today is Ruach Chitim. Very easy to come out of the first plot. I says today is Ruach Chitim. Your field was planted already with wheat. But Nimach Lazor is starting a day and change my design, you're going to plant the barley. Yamzilach Yathlia, you have to wait until the seeds, the planted seeds, become wormy. Wormy meaning that they've rotted. Rotted meaning that they've taken hold in the ground, right? Once they've taken hold in the ground, then you can turn them over. You turn over the ground. In other words, you plow it under. And then you can plant the wheat. Okay, Dr. Spinell? Yes.
My mother,
Rabbi,
my
husband's
daughter.
No comparison. I didn't even know you could say such a thing. It was practically, heretical. Okay. Haisa Sadeh, let's start again. Haisa Sadeh is Ruach Chitim. Your land was planted with wheat. Venimach Zarazar, you change your mind, so I had to plant the barley. Yampilot Shiathliya, so you wait until it takes hold with root, Vyupach, and then you turn it over, Chachachizer, and then you can plant the barley. Im Tzomcha, if it grew already, Lo Yomar, in other words, you already have wheat coming out of the ground. You can't say Ezra. You know, first I'll plant the barley. Pachach opach, and then I'll turn over the ground. No. Then you're going to be having kilayim growing there, right? Because you have to first uproot the chitim before you put in the sorim, right? Elohaifa, first you uproot it, chakach zareh, and then you plant. Kamiyachoresh, how much must you plow under of the field? Kitalme harivia. It has to be like the way you plant when you plow when you're plowing after the second rain, which is a comprehensive plowing. You have to plow under the field in a comprehensive fashion between the chitim and the sorim. Abishol Omer, not so comprehensive, rather, Kadesh Lo Yishai Rovel Beisah, in order there shouldn't remain that measure of a quarter to a beisa, which is the same measure we had in the previous Mishnah, right? A quarter of a rova, the beisa. And of course, the Gemara is going to pick up on the comparison, right? Ad kamahi, now here's a mistake, should be a kami metalas. How long does it take for the seed to get wormy? In other words, to take root? Ad kadei shea bar shloshi yomim, for 3 days. But mokumatina, that's in moist ground, literally mud. Aval, however, in the next word also the Rosh Sirileo takes out, Avo b'mokum agreed, in a place where it's dry, boy, yoyser requires a little bit more, but not much more. The Tanike, we also saw in the Braisa, mitzvah sayom kikula b'mokum atina. In the place where it's muddy, so a little bit of the day is if it's the whole day. So really, in a place where it's muddy, it's 2 days and a few seconds, right? A few minutes, like lahavdi, rachmano litzlan, like avelus, right? Just like we have avelus. It says Shiva is really 6 days plus a few minutes in the morning. So to hear the shear is 2 days plus a few minutes in the morning. But that's only where it's muddy. Where it's not muddy, it takes a full day on the third day. Period. Vim tzimcha, what if the wheat is already grown? However, if Arit Bamtel Lesoch, you brought your animal down into the field, Vikir Tamasa, and your animal grazed the field, then you're allowed immediately after the animal goes through to plant barley there in the field. Now, I want to emphasize something. Even if there's stuff left, this is going to be crucial in the entire parak, even if there's stuff left there, doesn't matter, because you already Megala Das, that you don't want the Chitim which are there. You made them animal fodder. So therefore, once your animal has gone through there, even if there's something left here and there, that's already not kilayim, right? Again, because kilayim is subjective, not objective.
Okay. It sort of struck me, going back a couple lines.
Yes.
Mixed with some kakula, like you said, it's by avails.
Right.
Something, it's a rule that's applied, not by, when you're talking about a practical matter. You're talking about...
Surprise!
Right. Here we're saying...
That's right.
Using the principle for a practical matter, how long it takes to for the seed to...
That's right. Exactly.
That's a weird variant.
Maybe. But that's what we're saying. You're correct. We've never seen that by something practical, only by something halachic. Right. That's right. Okay. Live and learn. That's what we learned here at Kilayim. Okay? Says Gemara. How else could I answer it?
No, it's just like a musical.
Yeah. My time of the Rabbanim, what's the Lajah Rabbanim? Mikavich Nasa Daito Lach Rosh. So Rabbanan hold that once you had in mind to be choresh, afilu lo ratzach, you plow, but you don't have to plow mamish every furrow right next to each other, just like comprehensive plowing, which you plow after the second rain. There is a brisa, in other words, I should make that clear. Before you plant the field at the beginning of the season, you do an even more comprehensive plowing. Right? You turn over every single piece of dirt. After the second rain, you don't turn over every single piece of dirt. You just want the rains to get mixed in. So therefore you do comprehensive plowing, but not as spaced close together. So that's what Rabbanan is saying. That's sufficiently comprehensive. That second plowing is sufficiently comprehensive in order to consider it to be no longer a wheat field, but now it's suitable to plant barley in it. Okay? Says the Gemara, Tani, we went to the Braisa, Eimachayven lios choresh daak. You don't have to plow very, very narrow, very tight furrows. El katal me'ervia. They're in there. El katal me'ervia.
I don't know if she knows what. Okay, there was a woman there. I'm not sure what she was looking for.
What?
Maybe looking for the video. It's upstairs.
El katal me'ervia. Rather, again, like we said in the Mishnah, the amount of the furrows of the furrows which you have when after the second rain. Hashigon leomer zonava sus leisanikres. When you do this plowing, you should do like the zonava sus, like a horse's tail. Kadesh yes sofa furoshel zu nogeh beso bezu. That the end of this dirt should reach the end of the beginning of this dirt. B'sofa farshazu no gebezu. And here's a little picture. See? So each furrow should be connected. Kind of like a radio wave.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Sine wave. Right. So that's the way it should be connected, okay? So it should be a continuous, uninterrupted furrow. Says the Gemara, that's called like zon avasus, because all the hairs in a horse's tail are connected. Right, my time with Abishol. What's the lack of logic of Abishol? Became chizchibur. Abishol says all you have to diminish it is to less than the proportion which you had in the previous Mishnah. Why? Became chizchibur roiva. Once you diminish it to less than roiva dial, that's sufficient because that's the portion of previous Mishnah. Ma Abishol krab yesi. What? How do we learn Abishol koyt ab yesi shita? Now Rabbi Yesi said in the previous Mishnah holds that once you start taking out. When it's too over proportion, when you start taking out the quarter of a pound from the 6 pounds, you have to take out the entire quarter pound. Rabbanan LMP's Mishnah does mimamait, but he holds you have to take out the entire thing, right? So what about what will you hold according to Rabbi Yitzchak in this Mishnah? Says Mara, Kerabonani. Abishol Tak is saying Yeshita like Rabbanan, who say Amre, who said Mikem Shinosa Daito Lachrosh, once you start plowing a few low ruts up, even into a comprehend every very narrow, very tight furrows, that's sufficiently. Abishol says, and that he's even more makel Abishol, he says, Mikem Chisrubarova Dio. Once you diminished it so there's no less than that shear of 1/24, that's sufficient. Rabbi Yossi, however, of course, would say that Tzorach Lashlim is called a Rova. Every you would have to complete the entire thing, just like in the previous Mishnah, you'd have to take out the 1/24. So therefore, really, in the Rabbanan Shita, Abishol Rabbi Yossi would have a machlokas. Nobody holds you have to make tight furrows. But the question is, in these non-tight furrows, how thorough do you have to be? So Rabbi Shol says you only have to be thorough enough to get rid that there's no proportion of 1/24. According to Rabbi Yossi, once you start, you have to be thorough enough to go through everything, make those talmei revia throughout the entire field. Okay? Similarly, Zrua, yeah, Palocha Gimel, you had a field which was planted with grain. V'nim achita, you decide to plant grape vines there. Lo yamara tavachakochovach, he can't say, I'm going to plant the grape vines. By the way, in Hebrew, I should point that out, even though it's obvious, zera. And Lizroa is by grain. Netia and Lintoa are by trees. Okay, so that's Zrua v'nimlach lito. Right, it was planted with grain, and then you decide to plant it with trees. In English, it's the same word. There's no distinction, but in Hebrew, they're different verbs. Lo yomar etta. You shouldn't say, first I'll plant the trees. V'achakachofach, and then I'll turn over. And then I'll turn over the dirt. And plant afterward, turn over the trees, and then plant turn over the grain. And afterwards, Elo, first you have to turn over the grain, and then plant the grapevines afterwards. Natua and vice versa. So if it was ready, plant those grapevines. And then you change your mind and decide to plant it with wheat. Lo yomar, I can't say ezra. I'll plant the wheat, and then uproot the grapevines. El mesharish, you have to uproot the grapevines, and then only afterwards plant the grain. Imratza. However, there is a kula by grapevines. Imratza, if you want, as long as you cut down the trunks to within a tefach of the ground, that's sufficient. The zorea gabeyan. If the zorea v'chag mashrish, in that case you can plant the grain, and only afterwards complete the removal of the stumps. Because a stump of less than a tefach in height is considered to be as if it's completely gone. Okay? Hoises are sareu zorua, kanbus or loof. You're planting marijuana. Cannabis, as you know, is marijuana. What's loof? Perek Bey's Halacha Gimel. A Mishnah Gimel. Lufa towels. Yeah, I don't think
it's a plant.
It's a plant, yeah. Mr. Zucker, we depend on you. Chapter 2, Mishnah 3. Caraway translates cannabis. Cannabis is cannabis. He speaks about that in the parish here, or arum, whatever arum is. A-R-U-M. Sure, that helps us all. In any event, if it was planted cannabis or arum. Lo Yisrael Bal Gabei, you can't plant grain on top of them. Sheino Sin Elo Shol Shani, because cannabis, even though it looks like, you know, the cannabis ain't growing, so what's the problem? Thing is, it takes 3 years to grow a cannabis plant. It's a big investment in marijuana. What do you think they, you know what, that's why they charge such high prices for it, right?
It's normally refers to hemp.
So it takes 3 years for it to grow. So therefore, since that is the case, you can't assume just because it's not there, there's nothing there. No, it's underneath the ground, and that's why you have to plow before you plant on top of it. What the grain runs around marijuana, but you decide to go straight. That's the pshat. You have grain in which paint plants have started growing. These are plants which are not edible, but they make a color. So therefore, they're used for dyes and stains. V'chei mokum agronos, and so to a place where you want to make a silo. That means you want clear ground. Sholu ba'mini marbe, which various different types of grain have started growing because of the seeds which get left there over time. V'chei tilson, and so to tilson. What's tilson? Does it say that? Yeah, I think it is fenugreek. That's right. So for fenugreek, shelamine asavim, which other grasses are growing. In all these cases, ain't mechayim nosolonakish. We don't make you start uproot them. Why? Because in all these cases, the interlopers, the strange plants which come in, are weeds. You don't like them there. Since you don't like them, it's not kilayim, right? Where is the kilayim? Only where it's something which is beneficial to you. Such as if among wheat, barley grows, it's not bad for you. You don't care. Right? But where it's a weed, where you have paint plants among grain plants, or where you have various different types of plants growing together, but it's a place where you don't want any because it's a goren. Or you have fenugreek, which has all sorts of grass growing dispersed in it. You don't make you uproot the weeds. What if you started, however, to hoe or to weed out? Omer lo, so then we say, of course, akol chutzim v'nechon. That is, we say, once you started, shows that you're sensitive to this. In this case, you already have to start doing the whole thing. Okay. Because otherwise it looks like you're being mekayim kilayim in the field. So therefore you have to get rid of everything, every last bit, once you started the hoeing process. Tani, we learn. Somchin amorim b'tzad kfonim. And when it's allowed to pile, omorim, to pile piles of grain next to grapevines. Rabbi Yosef said, Hadamra, the fact that it says you're allowed to plant, to pile piles of grain next to grapevines tells us that even if it was dry grain but it was still affixed to the ground, it's prohibited to put that in juxtaposition to grapevines. Why? Because here it says specifically omorim, where they're already disconnected from the ground. The gra takes out the next word yavesh because it doesn't fit into the context here. What about the other direction? Are you allowed to plant grain next to dry grapevines? The Shmini Minhag, let's learn from the violent case. Kevin Shiyavsha, a grapevine which became dry, asura, it's forbidden to plant next to it. Veiname kadeshes. But if you plant the grain next to it, it doesn't make the grain prohibited, because the grapevine has shriveled and withered and it's dead. When Rabbi Lozer said to Rabbi Meir, this is Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir is so mocky that he doesn't even allow you to plant grain next to dead grapevines. What? You know, mocky Rabbi Meir is a Rafilu Tzemer HaGefen Oser Veinu Mekadesh. He even forbade you to plant wheat next to cotton. Cotton is called Tzemer Gefen in Hebrew. Since the word Geffen appears in the context, I guess I'm not sure why, maybe it goes in clusters. I know why it's called Tzemer Geffen in Hebrew. But since the word Geffen appears in the context, it's usher to plant next to it where wheat plants. It's like a Myra Sion on Key Lime. So it says Gemara, Hadam Ara, this teaches us that Rabbi Meir is the one who's so machmir. What? Teachers are in mirrors somehow. Greg, oh, cotton does grow in clusters?
I'm drawing upon my fourth grade project.
There you go, report on Eli Whitney, what is it?
Yeah. No.
Okay. Okay, we should have warned. We're going to turn off the tape recorder before you made that comment. So, these are being distributed by Torah tapes in New York. This teaches us Shemuter Lezera Bitsagi Fonim Yavashos, according to Rabbanan, of course, not according to Rabbanan. According to Rabbanan, was allowed to plant grain next to dry grapevines. Now, going back to the Mishnah, what happens if now you cut your grapevines down to within a tefach of the ground? Now they grew back, but you already have wheat there. Vim tzamchu, if now the grapevines grew back, despite the fact that you cut them within the tefach of the ground, mutaris l'shavar, that which already grew is permitted, because whatever grew till now is beheter. Vasur slasi, whatever grows now subsequently, you have to, it's forbidden. You must immediately go and uproot or recut down those grapevines. Kadar, similar to this, in this vein. Kadar means in this vein. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda gum with a kamat. Gum karmaya. He cut his kerem down to the ground. Right? To within a tenth of the ground. Omlari said at that point he said to a sharecropper, Puksa! Go out and plant. Right? Plant grain. Mean the zara, after the sharecropper planted, smachin. The grapevines grew back. Omlari, so he said to a sharecropper, Pukhatat! Go and harvest the grain quickly, because otherwise it's going to become awesome. Min the chatzad, in the meantime, by the after he had harvested the grain, artivin, which means that the grapevines became wormy and rotted into nothingness. Amarlay, at that point he said, puk samach, go back and plant again. Plant the grain again. So this is a prayer following on the principle we just stated. Rabbi Zira asked the question, Ab Kidun, Rabbi Shimon Yehuda, Shoimiladas Kimura. Maybe it's only Rabbi Shimon Yehuda, who was an upstanding, righteous person. So he, when he said that he doesn't want grapevines, he meant he didn't want grapevines. So Das Kimura. It's like we say in Talmud Bavli, Kimura Stas. Right? He was Gomer Bedato. He had complete intent. Sharpen Adam, Shoimiladas Kimura. What about other people who might not have complete intent to uproot their grapevines? Maybe, you know, secretly they want their grapevines to grow next to their wheat. Says the Gemara, Chazar v'Amar, no. Afil Rabbi Shimon Yehuda ainu osa mishum har sain. Meaning, even other people, because the point of Shimon Yehuda is only also because of har sain. Meaning that the truth is the stumps of a geffen, even if they start growing again, don't answer. Why is it osir? Because of marisayin. It doesn't look right. So, therefore, so therefore, even if it starts growing again, it's not the bona fide Isra of Kilayim. So therefore, even other people we don't know have such Kmiras Das to get rid of their vineyards. Even if they're not so upright and upstanding like Rishon Ben Yehuda, that's enough. We can rely on them and let them get away with this issue of being gum, of chopping within a tenth of the ground, and then planting grain in that area. Okay, Brisa, Tani, we learned. Yoshua, and this is Yoshua ben Nun. Oh, I made a mistake. Sorry. Tanai Yoshua. This is the condition made by Yoshua. A condition made by Yoshua ben Nun when they came to the conquered land of Israel. That one is allowed to go into anybody's field and start gathering grass. In other words, grass is always considered to be a weed, right? Unless you're growing a lawn. It's a modern American thing, right? But in the old days, when they didn't have lawns, so grass was a weed. It was harmful. So therefore, anybody can go into anybody else's field and start plucking out grass.
But the sheep and the cows grazed
on. They wouldn't graze in fields, though. It was growing in the middle of somebody else's field. Okay? So, but not in fenugreek fields. Because the fenugreek fields, the grass is good. And this is what Gemara is going to discuss now. Now, the Gemara here is out of order. The Beer doesn't say it, and the Mashbiach doesn't say it, but it's clear to me the Gemara here is out of order. So we should read the line, which is one line down. You see the line of Hotzninon? One line down? So two lines down? So that line should be over here. It should be Vatnina. How can you say that it says Chena Tilson Chalas Mina Savim Emichaivan Osulanakish? Look at our mission that if the Tilson patch starts growing all sorts of grasses inside, you don't have to uproot the grass. Now, if it's Nichot to you to have grass, if it's acceptable to you to have grass grow with fenugreek, so that should be a problem. Our mission should not permit it because then it's Kilayim. Because it's not a weed, it's Lerotzah. So Lichora, our mission contradicts the Tanai, which Yoshua made when he entered the land of Israel. Because Yoshua made the land made the Tanai that fenugreek is an exception, because by fenugreek, the guy wants grass to grow alongside the fenugreek. Yet our Amar's mission that says that grass with fenugreek is not kilayim. So it's a contradiction. Lichora, if you want the grass with fenugreek, it should be kilayim, because it's advantageous to you. So now, go back a line. Rabbi Yaakov bar Acham Hashem, Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachman said, "Kishezogah le'omi rimas nisa." This brisa, where Yoshua said that, where Yoshua made the Tanai and said, "You're not allowed to pluck out the grass from other people's fenugreek field. It's where you're growing animal fodder. You're growing the fenugreek for animal fodder, and therefore, in animal fodder, grass is advantageous, right? Where you're growing because animals eat grass as well as they eat fenugreek." But where you're growing, however, fenugreek for human purposes, to make a spice out of it or whatever, so then grass is not advantageous. And that's our Mishnah, which says that if you have grass growing in the fenugreek, since it's something which you're not pleased with, that's why you don't have to uproot it because it's not kilayim.
You're not worried about marisayim, that people all know that it's growing for fodder and not for
grass? I guess not. I guess people knew. I guess in the old days, farmers knew what things was growing for. But you're right. Obviously, I'm not afraid of my sign here. Rabbi Yaakov bar Acha, now skipping down to the next line, of course. Rabbi Yaakov bar Acha said, B'shem Garmein, his own name. That was Rabbi Yaakov bar Acha's name. Rabbi Yitzchak bar Nachman was Rabbi Yaakov bar Acha adding on his own name. Shehelas Lazera. That it's the same thing. Our mission is not necessarily is planting for human beings, but rather is planting for replanting, for seeds. Same idea, where you want the fenugreek seed, so then, in that case, the grass is a weed, and that's why it's not kilayim. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi said, now I got a problem with this. The chi lo bo Yoshua lefarishel over aveiro. Did Rabbi Yoshua only, did Yoshua ben Nun, who said it's also to gather, what? Yeah. He permitted all grass except for fenugreek, right? So, what's Yeshua's beef about? Chilo by Yeshua lefarish el over avera. You're saying that when is fenugreek okay? When is When did Yehoshua forbid you to take the grass from the fenugreek patch where the guy wants the grass because it's Makal Behema? So who's this guy? The guy is growing the grass. What is he? It's a Russia. Not a guy. It's a Russia. He's never there. Why? Because what's he doing? He's growing kilayim. So why it's from Makal Behema? It's edible, so it's kilayim. So ask the Gemara, Yehoshua is doing this guy a favor. Yehoshua is saying, no, the guy who's growing fenugreek with his and grass together, him, you can't go and take the grass out of. Ask the Gemara, I'm resi chilob on the Yehoshua farish. Yehoshua only made this exception. No, it's for guys who would make growing kilayim. He said, well, since they want the grass and the fenugreek, you can't take it. You're making takona for every avera. Every avera, osim shum gezel. If the guy is over that Aviv Kilayim, then you're going to ask him to take the grass because of Gezel. Love, if the guy didn't transgress that Aviv, then it's Mutim Shu Gezel, then Gezel's permissible. It's difficult. What kind of tacos are Yeshua making? Heavy. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef makes the proposition. The Gemara is going to reject this proposition, but Gemara is never going to come up with a better alternative. You'll see. Says Heve Lo Shani Yishazar Lazera. There's no difference if you plant the fenugreek to reseed, or maybe it's not to reseed. Maybe fenugreek seed is the spice. You know, I'm thinking. I said before, Lazera means to reseed. Maybe fenugreek seed is the spice in and of itself, which you get out of fenugreek. So for human consumption. So Lo Shani Yishazar Lazera makes a difference whether you're planting it for the seeds, Yishazar Lami, or whether you're planting it for animal fodder. In both cases, it's not going to be kilayim. So the Gemara says, "Vatzininon, wait a minute. Didn't we learn a mishta? V'chein tilson shel amine asavim mechayvin osel solen nakesh." We said that it, in our mishta that if tilson grows grass, you're not chayv to be menakish donor to weed it out. And it should be im omer at. This is the word omer missing. Im omer at shadato alein. If you're going to say that he wants the grass there, you chayv also menakish. So there's a kashan Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says no difference between animal fodder and seed. Says more than so. You're making things worse again. You're bringing the kasha back. So in that case, let's make you hoe. How could our mishnah means that? What are you saying? That the guy wants grass, no matter what, whether he's growing it for seed or he's growing it for animals. So if that's the case, how come our mishnah lets the guy off the hook? Says more Rabbi Yaakov, Shem Rabbi Maisha, Rabbi Yaakov's name Rabbi Maisha. Says a shocking answer. Gemara's not going to lie; doesn't like this answer. Says, yeah, you want them, but you want them dead, not alive. What does it mean? You want the grass, but you want the grass uprooted and ready for your animal to eat. So that in and of itself is enough to take it out of the parsha of kilayim. It's true you want it, but you don't want it growing. You want it taken out. But that means somebody else can't come and take it. That's where Yeshua made the tanai. He said, nobody else can come and take it because I want it. But I don't want it growing. I don't want kilayim. Where I want it, I want it accessible to me in order to take it out and give it to my animal.
While it's growing, it's okay.
Well, that's the flaw in this argument, because while it's growing, it sounds like it's okay.
Right.
Okay, right. That's right. So ask Gemara Me'atov, if that's the case. If you follow the line of reasoning, Matza Kilayim Bekerem, you are Surim Shum Gezel. If you find Kilayim in your Kerem, it should be us because of Gezel. Nobody should allow to be up with your Kilayim from your Kerem. If you wrote to bank, you will Kurim Merachil Farab. And there too, you want the grain. You just don't want it to grow, but you want the grain, so nobody else should be allowed to take it. And we know that they are allowed to take it. Now the Gemara brings down the same thing over again. Instead of name Rabbi Maisha, name Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, Lo Amar Ken. Rabbi Yossi didn't say like this. Elo Shalabas, but it's slightly different version, right? But same idea, different version. At the end, you want them. Not now where they're growing. You want the end product. So it's as if they're rooted in front of you. Me'ato, and now the Gemara asks the same question again. A Rabbi Yossi, slightly different version, the same principle. Matzah kilayim b'kerem, fine kilayim b'kerem. You assume shum gezel, let it be us because of gezel. Shabasoifu goitzeben, because at the end you want them. Kilo akura menachal farav. Says more of an answer, which is, I don't know. You see if you like this answer. Kan yesh lo emili kones. Says by the grass growing with the tilson. So there, you want it when it's uprooted. Why? Because you'll give it with your fenugreek to your animal. However, kan ein lo emili kones. Here, the grapevines are not suitable for animals. You can't give grapes to animals. So therefore, it can't go together with anything else. So the Gemara is saying, it's almost a baobata shechiluk, saying that we're over there in the case of the fenugreek, so there you want them when they're akurim because it's economically feasible for you to feed them together with the fenugreek to your animal. But here, with the grapes, it's not economically feasible for you to have those few blades of grass that are available for your animal, and therefore you don't want them even when they're akurim. Therefore, you'd much rather somebody came right now and uprooted them for a field and even took them for themselves. Okay? Says the Gemara, I don't like that. Rav Nachman Amar, Rabbi Mona. Rav Nachman said, Nei Rabbi Mona, come on. Give me a break. Hagatz Mechon. Let's imagine the following scenario. Shoya Shom Soda Acher Shul Tilsot Smucholo. Let's say, yeah, here there were grapes and grass together in the field, and that's King Lion. But let's say right next to it is a fenugreek field. You know, so then, you can gather together with the fenugreek. So in that case, you should be able to, in that case, Lechora, it should be exactly similar. That whatever we say about grass and fenugreek, that rotsu bohen akurim, once of our Buddha, we should be able to say when grass is growing with the kerem and next to it is fenugreek in a different field, that rotsu cubicles in both cases it's economically feasible to feed with the larger crop. Gemara doesn't answer. No, it just leaves it fair. Okay, mileon de rabbana. Now, the following statement of rabbana plegin argues on the heter which Rabbi Yossi said of fenugreek growing together with grass. Dom Rabbi Zvikam Shemar the base Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Zvikam is the name of the house of Rabbi Yanai. Kol asvichin mutorim. All things. Oh, it should be asurin. Sorry. The Rashi lives to change it to asurin. All svichin, everything which grows wild in a field during Shemitah are forbidden. Chutz, with the exception of mina olim besod debur, which that which grows in a land in land which is left fallow, besod the near land which has already been plowed for motzoi shvius, besod the kerem that which grows in a vineyard, and there's two words missing, besod the zera that which grows in a plant which in a field which already has. Which already has a different side type of seed in it, and this is now a foreign transplant, foreign plant. Now, let me just give a little bit of background here. Svichim are things which grow during Shemitah wild, and some svichim are also svichim which grow in regular fields during Shemitah are also. What svichim are mutter? Only svichim which grow in places which are not regular fields, out in the wild. In a field which is left fallow, field which is ready plowed from motzoi shvi'is, in those cases svichin are mutter. Okay? Now it says in one of the cases svichin is mutter is soda zera. Okay? Field which is planted something else. Now, says Gemara v'omar misoda tilson. The v'omar is like in the Bavli, it's like v'yomar. It should say a distinction. According to Rabbi Yossi, there's one field in which foreign plants are not considered to be problematic, and you like them there. And therefore, it's because of Svichim and Shvius. As we said, if you have a field full of barley, and Chitim plants start growing in it, those Svichim are mutter. Why? Because you don't like wheat in your barley field. Says Gora, like Rav Yossi, who said, you always want grass in your fenugreek field. So why is that exception not mentioned? Why don't we mention in this brisa that there is one case in which a foreign implant grows in my field, and it's also because of Svichin, because I like it there. Grass growing in fenugreek. Now, why is this only different from Rabbi Yossi, not Rabbanan? Because Rabbanan said you don't always want grass growing fenugreek, only if it's for animal fodder. If it's for seed, you don't want it. So according to Rabbanan, we could say the reason why the Brisa didn't mention the fenugreek fodder plant case is because it's too obscure a case. It's a subdivision case of the general fenugreek case. But according to Rabbi Yossi, that in all fenugreek you like grass, whether it's for animal fodder, whether it's for seed, so the Mishnah should mention. The Brisa should mention that there's an exception to this rule. When is a foreign implant of Svichid Mutter? Only if it's not a fenugreek plot. Because a fenugreek plot, then you like the foreign grass in there. Okay? That's more Kashi. For Yomar, according to Rabbi Yossi, let it say, Chutz Misoda Tilson, Shazorn Lazera. Let's mention so that Tilson is different, because Tilson, even if you plant it for seed, you like the grass. Says Mar, I'm Rabbi Yossi, where he said, you know what, you got a kasha from me. Got a kasha from me, that Brisa. However, I'll bring you a raya, Milsa to Rabbi Yochanan Masayli. The Maisa to Rabbi Yochanan brought to being is a raya for me. What's the Maisa? Maisa Be'echot Shulokach Yurka Shogina Minagoy. So Maisa of a guy who bought a vegetable patch from a goy, and there was kilayim growing there. Asked him to show Rabbi Yochanan. So he asked Rabbi Yochanan what to do. So he said to him, say, go quickly. He looked out and grabbed the vegetables immediately before they become kilayim. And go down to the marketplace and sell them. Osi Rabbi Avo, come Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Avo asked for Rabbi Yochanan. Why does he have to do this immediately? V'atzinina, did we learn? We said, if it's a place you want flat for storage purposes, and various types of seeds sprout up, there's no kilayim, because you don't want any of them. So here too, he doesn't want the kilayim. The goy was growing kilayim. He doesn't want kilayim. Says Mar Amalei, Rabbi Yochanan said it's different. There, Mekoymo Mokia Mochiach Leishen Rotsu Bekumo. There, by the Goren, everybody knows he doesn't want them. Why? Because Goren, you don't want anything growing. So there, if stuff is growing together haphazardly, people know this is not an intent of Kilayim. However, here, people are not going to know that. People are going to say, out of that, we know he bought it from a guy. Maybe people say that he's really growing kilayim there. So therefore, he has to immediately go quickly and uproot it before people get the wrong idea. Now, says the Gemara, V'yosivna. Now, why didn't Rabbi Yochanan answer? Kan osim shum gezel, v'kan mutim shum gezel. Why didn't Rabbi Yochanan give a simple answer to that question for our Mishnah? Let him say, in our Mishnah, the guy doesn't want it, and therefore people are allowed to come in and take it. If I have grass that's growing in my goren, I don't want them there, right? So anybody can come in and take them. There's no issur of gezel there. As opposed to this case over here, which Rabbi Yochanan was dealing with, here, it's also because of gezel, because here he wants to realize as much profit as he possibly can from the field, and therefore it's also because of gezel over here, and that's why there's kilayim over here. Why didn't Rabbi Yochanan say that dichotomy between our Mishnah and this case over here? Let me read that inside. The Yosidna, let him respond. Kan osir b'shum gezel. Here, in the case of the field bought from the guy, so it's also for anybody else to gather the vegetables, because the guy wants the vegetables. So therefore, in this case, there's a possibility of kilayim because of the guy's rotsu b'kiyumo. The kan arm in the Mishnah, where it's talking about the guy, mutar b'shum gezel, there's no gezel problem, because he doesn't want to have that stuff going there altogether. And therefore, there's no kilayim problem either. So, why doesn't Rabbi Yochanan give that answer? It must be, says Rabbi Yossi, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, in our Mishnah, it's also something which is also because of gezel. And even though it's also because of gezel, nonetheless, it's mutter. Nonetheless, no problem keep lying. Why is that? Says Rabbi Yossi, he must be like Rabbi Yochanan, it's like me. That even though he's wrote to be kiyumo, how did he want kiyumo? Not planted, but he wants kiyumo harvested, already out of the ground. So Rabbi Yochanan saying, right, since Rabbi Yochanan didn't answer that difference between his case and the Mishnah's, and the Mishnah it's a case where anybody's allowed to take them. That's why it's not kilayim. Whereas this case, which came before him, this case, Rabbi will not be allowed to take them, and therefore it is kilayim. Why didn't he answer that? It must be the Rabbi Yochanan holds that that dichotomy doesn't exist. It must be Rabbi Yochanan holds in our Mishnah, it's usher to come and take the grain which is growing, the grass and the fenugreek, or the grain growing in the goren, haphazardly various different types together. Why is it usher? Must be because of Maitzvara. Why? How could it be usher and still be mutter in terms of kilayim? It's because of Maitzvara, because he wants the grass, but he wants it plucked out. So therefore, you're not allowed to take it, but it's not kilayim either, because he doesn't want it growing. He wants it dead, not alive. Says Marno, maybe not. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan could have answered that there's a dichotomy. Some are this mutter because of gezel, this because of usher because of gezel. Kaidam Rabbi Yami, like Rabbi Yami said, Hashir Mari B'tshuvas, they're rich in answers. That many answers could have given. Maybe Rabbi Yochanan could have given this answer as well. He could have said that this is mutter because of gazel in our Mishnah, and it's also because of gazel in this case in which you asked me over here. He didn't bother answering that. Oh, yeva, or you, we can, that's like yehebo, we could say concerning this, kahidam Rabbi Nasa, like Rabbi Nasa said, kinishis betrain tamid vumesi v'chad minot. Rabbi Yochanan, two answers give, he only gave one of them. But really, Rabbi Yochanan could have answered that. So it's not a right for Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi was medayik, Rabbi Yochanan holds in our Mishnah, that's osir mishum gazel, yet mutter because of the climb, it must be because of his far, that the guy wants it, but he wants it dead, not alive. Says Gemara, no. Rabbi Yochanan didn't mention that distinction between our Mishnah and the case which came before him, but he could hold of it and just didn't bother to mention it. Yeah, you're right. It is. Meisiv means to refute. So usually it means to ask a kash, but here it means to refute with an answer. But you're right. It's different here. Okay. Person wants to plant in his field rows of different crops. Mikol min. Each row a different crop. Beshamer says, how much difference has to be between the rows? Three furrows width, which is about 2 amos. The size of a yoke in the sharon, which is also about 2 amos, as it says, a kroven divelios can divel. That's similar shira. Rabbi Zira, Rabbi Nathan, Gemara gets fun. Rabbi Zira and Rabbi Lezer b'shem Rabbi Chia Ruba. Rabbi Zira and Rabbi Lezer both said the name Rabbi Chia the Great. Osa shtei amos al shtei amos. In the middle between the two furrows, it's got to be 2 amos and 2 amos. But umeitzer v'alchafil koshu. At the end of the furrows could be even a gap of a koshu, and that's picture number Aleph. See picture Aleph? In the middle of the furrows, there's got to be a gap of 2 amos. Oh, you got it over here. Hey, article copied by Kanievsky. In the middle between the furrows, it has to be, in the middle between the furrows, it has to be 2 amos. But at the end of each furrow, it can narrow to down to nothing. Okay? Says the Gemara, I'm Rabbi Yonah, because all my sign. All's how it looks. So that looks separate. We're going to get to this. I'm Rabbi Yonah. Rabbi Yonah said, "Harder the tamer basuya meishorin meishorin." That's only if it's rows. Avlasuya meishor echad. But if you put a row next to your field, lo bida. That means if you have a field, the shir hachaka between 2 rows is 2 amos. But the shir hachaka between 2 fields is 10 amos. Midrabanan. Midoraisa, how much is it? 6 tvachim. Midrabanan, it's 10 amos. So the thing is, so what if you have a field, and next to your field you want to plant a row, you have a field of wheat, and next to your field you want to plant a row of barley. There, he says, what's that hachaka you need? 10 amos, not 2 amos, 10 amos in that case. Because next to a field, between 2 rows, the shear of a chok is 2 amos. Between a field and a row, it's 10 amos. Says Gemara, v'asya kait, I'm Rabbi Yanai, and our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Yanai. The Rabbi Yanai said the coolest thing in the world. I'm exaggerating. But he said, Yochel ana zara chelki, I can plant my field, which was 100 amos by 100 amos, Esrin v'chamisha minim, 25 different types of grain. Esrin v'chamisha mikav, esrin v'chamisha mikav, 25 over here and 25 over there, which I think is 50. I'm not sure. But how is he planning on doing that? Like a checkerboard. Look at picture number bays. See picture number bays? You can make your whole field a checkerboard, because as long as there's two amos square, right, between the fields in the middle, so then it can narrow on the sides beyond that. So therefore, you get a checkerboard affecting your field. How many checker spaces can you get in 100 by 100? I think 50, right? They're going to be 50 black and 50 red, right? So you get 25 on 25, which is 50. You understand what's going on here? Because each one of these is like a separate row, right? So as long as at some point there's a 2-arm distance, that's sufficient.
Even though corners touch,
right.
It's the same principle as
ours. Just applied to an entire field as a checkerboard, as opposed to two rows right next to each other. Here the Gemara starts getting tricky. Gemara guard starts getting magic. What about by two fields? Now this is picture gimel. I give the Yerushalmi credit for this. It's tricky here. You have two fields, one next to each other. I got to look at my picture. You have two fields, one next to each other. So normally you require 10 amos between the fields. But what about if you have a field, then 10 amos, then a row, and then on the other side you have, you have a field, then a row next to it, not 10 amos between, field of chitim, then a gap, then a row of chitim. Then you have on the other side a field of sarim, then a gap, then a row of sarim. And the rows are next to each other, not the fields. So if the fields are next to each other, how much would you need? 10 amos. But now that the rows are next to each other, what would you need? 2 amos. Does it work? That's Yushami's question. Or is this like a harama, right? Can I utilize the legal loophole of the kula of having only 2 amos between rows? Okay? Creative. That's question number one. Question number two. That's the one we just did. Now, new case. We're going to see later on. The halacha is, take a look at Dalet now. The halacha is, if you have your saorin on the left of the picture, your barley, you can put a right hard fast against your friend's wheat. That's permissible. Why is that permissible? Because people know, oh, that's my barley, that's his wheat. There's no matter the sign. Everybody knows the different fields. Okay? What about now, however, between, in this case, that's permissible, right? Now, in order to plant chitim next to the sorim, I only have to be marchik 2 amos, right? Chitim next to the sorim is 2 amos. Then I plant my chitim on the other side, right? Chitim shalom. Is that okay? Because again, here the same idea applies. I really, between my chitim and my sorim, my field of chitim and my strip of sorim need 10 amos. But here I want to avoid that by putting a row of chitim in the middle. Am I allowed to do so? Okay? Can the row of chitim obviate the need to have 10 amos between my chitim and my sorim? I think that's the case. Let me make sure. Yeah. What?
View eliminates this middle row.
No, it's your sorrow.
It's own sorrow.
Your own sorrow. That's the thing. You want to.
Why do you need the row of chitim in the middle? You can eliminate the middle.
No, so you don't need 10 chitim, because you don't. Otherwise, you need 10 amos between your field and your sorin.
Because this was a row here. This was your row.
Right, that's your row of sorin.
So you don't need this middle one.
You do. No, you can't. In this case, you can't put your chitim hard and fast against this your own sorin. Unless you're allowed to put a row in the middle.
It's not hard fast up against it.
No, you are not. You need 10 amos.
Why? It's not a field. This was a row. This was your row because this was the other guy's field.
Between your own field of chitim and your own row of sarim, you need 10 amos.
Yeah, then why didn't you have to do it?
That's the Shaila over here. But since they're both rows, maybe all I need is two amos here.
No, but between this row and this field.
Those are both chitim. Those are both chitim. These are in picture gim. These are both chitim. That's why no archok is needed over here at all. The shaila is the fact that I have a row here and a row here. Does this only require two amos, even though they're fields as the bookends, right? That's over here. The shaila is over here. In this case here, am I allowed? I want to be marchik from this sorin. Only two amos, not the full 10 amos, right? So can I do this? Plant my sorin hard and fast against his field, which is okay, right? I'm using that loophole, and then using another loophole of putting a row of chitim between my field of chitim and my sorin, and avoiding the 10 amos on this side, and just having to have 2 amos, okay? The question is, how much of these haramas do I allow? Here, it's a double harama. Because I'm using, I'm putting my barley right up against him, and besides that, I'm putting a row of chitin on my side. Do I allow this double harama? That's the shiloh over here. Af b'churva cake. Now that we're asking the question, what about in a churba, meaning in a desolate area? Oh, yeva, do we apply here? Do we say here, kai damar eshlogish damar eshlogish sem shem chizkiya, rosh tur abami churba mutter? This is the case which we had previously. In other words, over here, this is picture number, hey, I have a row of chitin. I want to plant next to it one stalk of barley. Can I do that because of the imaginary rosh tor principle? That's the dotted triangle. Can I apply the imaginary rosh tor principle, which we learned in the previous parak? Says the Gemara, none of these questions are answered, right? Rabbi Yoimer, maschu beis rova, meitzer alachad shloshet tol mishol pasiach. Between two fields, you need 10 amos. However, you can narrow that distance, just where you said our mission between two rows, you can narrow that distance until you reach 3 furrows, the gap. And that's the picture of Vav. You can't narrow to a mamish hard up, like between two rows, but if you have a gap of 10 amos in the middle, you can narrow to 2 amos at the edges. This is between fields, not between rows. Okay? Okay, so between fields, you start with 10 amos, you narrow to 2 amos. Says the Marvelais, Leila Rebbe, it should be Rabbanan. Velais, Leila Rabbanan, Tfua, Bitfua, Base Rova. Ask the Gemara, hey, in our Mishnah, how come Rabbanan allowed 2 amos? What about the shear of 10 amos? Does the Marvelais come from the other field? Does the other Svara Meshar, which means at the end you can get Mamish hard up against the other one? Rabbi Yudin said, Rebbe's more machmir. Sof meisher l'Rebbe. The end of a meisher for Rebbe is like chilas meisher l'Rabbana. In other words, in Rebbe's case, at the end, because it's a field, and you start off with 10 amos, you can only end off with 2 amos. You can't end off with gumamish right up against the other. Rabbi Elezer Shoal, what if you had a field of less than 2 amos? You want to make 2 rows there. Mishmina min adol. It's certain for the following case: Rabbi Lezer bar Shimon and Rabbi Yossi ben Yochanan ish Noach Omar bigdoilo chamishim amos. They had a different shear. They held the shear achoka. If you have a big field, is 50 amos. Not like our Mishnah. Not like anything we've learned. But they said ubktano in a small field al pi ruba. Then what's the shear? The majority of the field. So my melech shenastu shear l'gdoila. If these who gave such a massive shear, 50 amos, lo nasu shear k'tani, they didn't give a shear by a small field, they said just a row, chachom shlos du shear l'gdol, chomich didn't give such a great shear, lo kosh k'en shlo yitnu shear l'k'tani, it's a kav chomer, they're not going to have a shear for a small field. So meaning, if you have a field which is less than 2 amos wide, as long as you leave the majority of the field, in other words, 1.1 amos between the rows, that's sufficient. If you have a larger field, then it's up to 2 amos. Gap. No more is necessary. If you have a smaller field, the majority of the field is all that's necessary to be in the gap, no more than that. Okay, and there must be a minimum gap. I assume 6 tefachim is a minimum gap, because that's the gap meter rights which is required. But as long as there's the minimal gap, it doesn't have to be 2 amos unless there's enough room to make 2 amos. If it's a field which is narrower than 2 amos, all you need between the two rows is the majority. We'll stop here for tonight.